This piece was brought to you by the Tabard Inn, tabardinn.com, heritageradionetwork.org.
Health. This is Kathleen Cherry, reporting for Heritage Radio Network at the Kauffman Center in New York City, attending the IQ2 debate on genetically modified foods. Genetically modified foods have been around for decades, created by modifying the DNA of one organism through the introduction of genes from another. They're developed for a number of different reasons: to fight disease, enhance flavor, resist pests, survive drought, and are mainly found in our food supply and processed foods using corn, soybeans, sugar beets, and as feed for farm animals. Across the country and around the world, communities are fighting the cultivation of genetically engineered crops. Are they safe? How do they impact the environment? Can they improve food security? Is the world better off with or without GM food? And that is the question that was at the heart of this debate. Before it started, I walked around to get the room climate. With such a hot button issue, I knew there would be strong responses. I found mission executive of Organic Valley, Teresa Marquez, who made it very clear which side of the argument she was there to support.
Organic doesn't allow GMOs, so we're already committed to not having GMOs, but there's some extremely important issues around genetically modified food that we're very, very concerned about, and that is its increased use of pesticides. And as an organic company, we're very, very concerned about pesticides, the contamination in our bodies, in the environment, the buildup of it, the continual ongoing research that's coming out about how it impacts our health. And so we really want to get the message out to the whole world that we should be being very, very cautious about what we do with our food, and specifically, should we in fact genetically modify it.
In that same vein of anti-GM food, I spoke with Joan Gessau, professor at Columbia, food policy expert and environmentalist. Many would call the matriarch of the eat locally, think globally food movement. She had this to say.
I'm very anxious to see what happens here tonight. I can't imagine that whatever the contestants say, it's very hard to argue for the safety of GMO simply because there's almost no research on it. Because people who do research and get negative results get killed. They do. I mean, they get really, their careers are ruined. Any young person thinking of going into science would certainly not choose to look at the health effects of GMOs because it's devastating. I mean, they're really ruined. People who are emeritus professors have been ruined for coming up with the wrong results. So I feel very strongly that I hope those issues get brought up, and I'm very confident in the two people on my side who are both very intelligent people. But it's a tough format.
I later spoke with two gentlemen seated next to me in the auditorium who were very uncertain as to who they would vote for. They were attending the debate because they didn't know much about GMOs and were extremely open to either side of the argument. Before the debate started, we were asked to cast a preliminary vote, and at a rate of 32% in favor of GM, 30% against GMs, and 38% undecided, the room was very divided, and the teams would have to work for our votes. As the IQ2 debate on genetically modified foods began, the teams were presented in two teams of two. For the motion for GM foods, we had Robert Fraley, Executive VP and CTO of Monsanto, and Allison Van Inenem, genomics and biotech researcher of UC Davis. In the motion against GMs, we had Charles Benbrook, research professor for sustaining agriculture and natural resources, and Margaret Mellon, science policy consultant and former senior scientist of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Debate moderator and ABC News affiliate John Donovan gives a summation of the debate here.
Our motion is this: genetically modify food. The team arguing for the motion, Robert Fraley and Allison Van Inenem, have argued that genetic engineering of food is no holy grail, but that it is a tool that can be used to help an enormous number of people. They say the proof of this is the fact that farmers have been using it because, in fact, it works for them. They say their safety has been established over 20 years without a single known injury related to the consumption of genetically engineered food, that the studies are a waterfall of support for this argument and also for the benefits themselves of genetically engineered food. And they talk about the possibility possibilities in the future of plants that can crush, absolutely crush plant disease and survive, which would be better for all. It's a lot of promise about the future. The team arguing against the motion, Margaret Mellon and Chuck Benbrook, they're saying, don't look at the future, look at the present. And their argument is that so far, genetically engineered food has not lived up to its promise. It's pulled off a couple of very neat and important tricks, but not all that was promised in the beginning. They say that they're not necessary, that they are not proven safe, and that in fact, contrary to the other side's assertions, that there is no consensus on their safety.
To these points, the opponents argued valiantly. The crux of the argument, however, focused on the research, or lack thereof, around the food safety of GM products. In the argument against GM, Marty Mellon discusses that very measure of safety here.
I think that there's a lot of review that's gone on, and I think that it is focused on the point that I've just made, that there are no acute, dramatic effects of the consumption of genetically modified organisms. All of those assessments have left open this notion, two things. One, that there could be subtle long-term effects that we have not identified, and that each application of genetic engineering needs to be looked at separately. So whatever you say about Roundup Ready crops, that says nothing about these new gene silencing technologies that are right up the way.
Okay.
So a blanket assertion of safety isn't scientifically justified.
Allison Bennington, would you like to respond?
Sure. I mean, as a scientist, I would never make a blanket assertion about safety, and I think it's very much dependent on each particular review. But I think that as a scientist, I let the data tell me whether there's safety concerns. And after 20 years and thousands of studies, and I feel the weight of the thousands of academic colleagues throughout the world that have done these safety studies that haven't found unique concerns, that I have to accept the evidence for what it is and let the data tell me whether it's safe.
The debate continued like this for 3 rounds, at times cheeky, sometimes funny, but always in a thoughtful manner contestants responded to their opponents. But in the end, there could only be one winner. And the winners were chosen by the percentage of audience members they were able to sway from the preliminary votes. In the motion against, voters were swayed from 30% to 31%. In the motion for, GM voters changed from 32% to a whopping 60%, and 9% of voters remained undecided. People had spoken, the ballots were cast, and big business won again. In the debate for genetically modified foods, the people decided in favor. It was a successful debate on the part of IQ2 US. It was smartly moderated by ABC News affiliate John Donovan. It got us all thinking and talking, and hopefully moving forward in our discussion of genetically modified foods. This is Kathleen Cherry on the roaming mic for Heritage Radio Network. Feed your head.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.